Blog Talk Radio.
Holy are you, holy are you, there is no God
yeah.
But you, there is no God but you.
I need to talk to y'all for a minute.
Praise be the Lord.
Get serious for a minute.
Holy are you.
Why they call me the God MC, the lyricist. Trace this staff to the roots, I'm Genesis. The world wonder, I'm still standing like pyramids. Design so vivid, every brick it got a story to tell. My rhyme flow different like a hieroglyphic. Mind prolific, infinite, like mathematics. The first language, now add that and add graphic. Go ahead, it gon' let the blocks know it's the gospel. Life's new manual, so watch close. The new Michelangelo or Pablo Picasso. Prepare to show you the cosmos and by flow. Even my lyrical metaphysical. What this will do is help you get to your spiritual pinnacle. You find your mind too far-fetched, but it's a fathom. I bring the darkness to the light, split the atom. It's like watching a Big Bang Theory emerge. I take title, spawn them to a billion birds. They want a clear view from the farthest in the darkest corners of the universe to a corner near you. A pharaoh and ghetto apparel, stay blamed up, Fort Knox display. A modern day King Tut, rap tight, rap like I've been preserved in time. Spit the holy water to touch it, to turn it to wine. It's your dog. Probably descendants of the Holy Grail. Another part of history they won't reveal. Time to only tell. You waited for judgment. It came in the form of a dove in the game to create its own position. It's blood in my vein. The chemical is identical. We one of the same. With seven letters in all, three of my government names. Walk on water. Nah, leave it to Jesus. It's the parable to make followers and readers believers. From Egypt to Budapest, rock him as the truest left. Understand the scriptures like the minister Lewis F. I told you who God is. You ignore me like most of the prophets. Jesus, Solomon, Abraham, Moses, and Muhammad. I sold the scholars, would fulfill the broken promise. I spit the truth to predict the future like those Thomas. Like revelations, I'm hoping my quotes reveal the seven spirits of God when I open the seal. Interpret the Holy Quran. These flows of God translate to law and decode the Bible. Warn the elders in the mosque, made songs and the laws. The seven churches, the synagogues, it's the Renaissance. In the bronze, like the Messiah, rocking my laws. About to reveal a bigger secret in time, men of God.
Peace, family. My name is Kasim Rael. Tonight, we have a dynamite show for you. We have a brother who is the author of Hip Hop Decoded and Urban Culture Decoded. This brother does speaking engagements all over the country, teaching and building and, you know, doing his thing. And, you know, we're glad to have him on the network tonight. and the brother name is Black Dot, and try to get him up here in a minute, get him online, so he can get started with us. Brother Dot, are you there?
Brother Dot is here. Peace, peace, peace.
Peace. Brother Dot is in the building. It's good to hear you, bro. You know, no doubt
pleasure.
About it at all. We got a whole lot of stuff going on, man. And, you know, I know that, you know, you're going to drop some of that knowledge on us. You know, I guess we can, you know, start it off with, I guess, a little bit of current events going on. You know, we got the Charlie Murphy thing going on.
We got the
Tupac movie going on. I mean, wherever you want to hit it from first, bro, you can, you know, hit some current events. Then I guess we can go into, you know, your book. First, tell us about you. I'm jumping ahead. Tell us about you. Let the people know who you are, because it's your first time on the network. So let people know who you are, man, and what you do.
Yes, I go by the name of the Black Dot. I'm a writer. I'm an author. I'm a lecturer and an MC, and I've been in this industry a very, very long time. I put out my first album in 1987 on B-Boy Records, the same label KRS-One was on. Prior to that, I was an underground artist who recorded with some producers, the ones who produced the Fat Boys and some other people. I went on be a hype man for Tim Dogg, who did F. Compton in the early 90s. We went and toured the world. I was his hype man. And a lot of people don't give him credit, but he was the first ones to throw some shots at the West Coast, you know, in reference to some of the things that, you know, was disagreeable to us during that time. Then
right.
I went on to start my own label in 1994 called Bib Records, Black Independent Brothers. And we put out some independent projects. And then I came into the awareness of self, so to speak. So I was able to, fortunate enough, to sit at the foot of some of the elders of Phil Valentine, Bobby Hemmett, Dr. Lee of Africa, Delbert Blair, all of these great teachers. But what I found out, or what I felt was missing, was it was a lot of elderly people at the lectures at that time. And I felt the information that they was dropping also needed to be fed to the youth, but you just can't feed them that. It had to be translated into hip-hop. And that's where my first book came in, Hip-Hop Decoded. So I translated some of the higher sciences into something palatable for our young brothers and sisters. And it took off really well, because they wanted this information, but they wanted it in a vibration that they were familiar with. And as a result, it became an underground classic. And 2 years ago, last year, I released Urban Culture Decoded, which is similar, but it's dealing with our everyday life growing up in the hood. And, you know, it's a pleasure to be here.
Right. Yeah, man. Congratulations on those books, you know, Black Dot. You know, indeed.
Thank you so much.
Yes, I have to get a copy. You know, I have the DVDs, some of the DVDs that you put out. That you did, you know, years ago. You know, that's how I got familiar with who you are and stuff like that. And but I have yet to, you know, get one of your books. But definitely I want that latest one that you put out, so, you know, I can keep up to speed on what, you know, what you're building on. But
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that's, you know, a little bit of your bio. Now, you know, let's get started with some current events. Now, with this Charlie Murphy thing, that's hot on the table right now. Now, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, different things, you know, the conspiracy, so-called conspiracy, but we know that's not necessarily the case anymore, in reference to how our artists or actors and performers are dying, you know, in strange ways, you know, whether it's Prince or whether it's Charlie Murphy. I mean, the list goes on. You know, and he's just another one, you know, and there's a lot of talk in reference to him. So let's hear what you have to say in reference to that.
I'd like to send my condolences out to his family, to the entire Murphy family, because anytime you lose a family member, you know, it's extremely tough. So my condolences go out, you know, I've been a fan of Charlie Murphy's work, yada, yada, yada.
Of course.
His passing coming 1 year after Prince's passing just kind of raised an eyebrow, you know what I'm saying? And knowing that Prince died on April 21st, which is 4/21, and Charlie Murphy goes out on 4/12, which is, you know, reverse of 21.
Reversed.
And,
right.
Right. And we know Charlie really became famous by doing those stories of, you know, Rick James and preferably Prince.
Right.
So I kind of, you know, that just kind of raised an eyebrow because these synchronicities, these things that we go, that's strange. A lot of times they're coded within a language that's a little bit maybe above our general understanding, but they can be connected. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So
that indeed.
Just kind of raised my eyebrow. And even Prince in 84 releasing the song I'll Die For You, and he didn't use Y-O-U, he used the letter U. And the letter U is the 21st letter of the alphabet. So Prince said, I'll die on 4/21. And he died on 4/21. Now, this could just be coincidence, but coincidence is also the language of our ancestors. And these people who deal with geometria and, you know, death by the numbers, so to speak, in essence of lining things up numerically, have a greater understanding of how these things work. And, you know, again, Rick James, I got to get Rick James' date that he passed. I didn't think about it until as we were speaking about it, because now Rick James and Prince, who Charlie Murphy made or revitalized, you know, sort of their careers, now he makes the transition. So I want to, you know, just kind of do a little bit more research, but sometimes the numerology adds up and you go, wow, this is a little strange. Now, I did notice that Charlie Murphy was looking sick the last time I saw him. Not personally, but when I watched him on the TV, he didn't look too healthy. So we do know that something was going on there as well, you know?
Right. And the number 57 is interesting, too, because there were a number of artists that died at that same age, at 57.
Right, so and he died at 57, correctly.
Right, that's another factor. And from some information I got recently, there was a connection with Chappelle of some type, because he did a lot of he did some things with Chappelle, and now all of a sudden we get the return of Chappelle, okay?
Right.
And now Charlie Murphy. So this is all, you know, we got to play a little bit of connect the dots with this stuff, you know, and you know it just so much. Like you said, there's no such thing as coincidences. You know?
Right. And, it's just what you're able to process and understand, you know?
Right. Not to feed too much into the sensationalism of it, because we can go overboard with that, but just to be mindful that there are forces out there that do certain things, and Hollywood, we know, is a circus in reference to ritualistic activity and things of that nature. So I'm sure we're familiar with a lot of that. You know,
Hollywood in particular, you know, Hollywood, all of that is sorcery out there in Hollywood. And a lot of young people may not want to understand that, but these Jewish people in particular, the ones who understand geometry and numbers, and they learn it from the time they're 3 and 4 years old. So when you are saying, hey, my name is Black Dot, they may only want to know the numerical value of your name, so that they can find out who you are and what vibration your name carries. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So what you'll find out when you're doing numbers is dog and God have the same numeric value, because numerically they hold the same letters. They're just reversed letters, but the vibration is the same. So this is the level of intelligence and sorcery they deal with. So once they pop their name in, Tupac or whatever the case may be, in your whole name, it gives them a geometrical value. And that value then in turn, they'll line it up with a whole bunch of other words with the same value, and then begin to piece out who you are numerically, what threat you pose, or how they can then use you to further their agenda and what it is that they're doing. So I don't want our people to think Superstars or stars and athletes are an accident. They're not. They may seem arbitrary to us who just haven't studied it, but for those who study it, they know who you are, who you used to be, and if your name carries the same vibration of Hey Rule or Marcus Garvey, or you still have potential to tap into that energy source and be that person, so to speak, and they know this, and because we don't, they reap the benefits by throwing us into these scenarios that appear to be arbitrary, or you pass, you know, Prince passing at a certain time, and his name vibrates with a certain energy, and he went out, it was 67 days between him passing and Vanity. Remember, he dated Vanity.
Right. I remember hearing that. Right.
So from the date she passed, it was 67 days before he passed. Now, 67 is also his birthday, 6-7. He was born on June 7th. So the numerical value of these things cannot just simply be overlooked. They have to be understood so that we can understand the unseen. Because if we're just going to go through life not understanding that it's a secret language being spoke, we're going to lose. So for those of us who are on it, who are attempting to be on it, we only have, everyone might have a different nugget to bring to the table, but it's all relevant because it's very complex on how they do this to us and put us in situations, you know, from Bob Marley to Michael Jackson. These people are not just dying. Whitney Houston and Rick, these people are not just dying. I don't care how much you want to say they're just dying, they're not. They're dying because sacrifice has to be made to further things and agendas of these wicked people in high places.
Indeed. Well put, because that's really what it's all, that's really what it is, you know, no matter what anybody says. And it's all in your face now. A lot of stuff is in our face, like the movie Get Out, all in your face, okay?
All in your
face.
You know, the great movie.
All
great
in
movie.
Your face. Yeah, there's no hidden stuff anymore. Everything is out there for you to see. Now, what you going to do with it? You know what I'm saying?
So this is the day and time of information. Right. We're in that time where information, but the way these devils do it is they flood you with so much information now that it becomes the hidden is hidden, but it's so saturated. It's sort of like Google
saturated.
Google how to ride a bike. Or how to fix something, and you'll get 50,000 entries, and they all may vary to a certain degree, and that's the way in this day and time, the devil who understands that nothing else is hidden, but he can hide it in plain sight by saturating it with so much information that we almost become overwhelmed, you know?
And that's exactly what it is, because a lot of the young are overwhelmed. See, I'm from the old school. We had books. Okay, we didn't get overwhelmed too easily with a whole lot of YouTubes and getting oversaturated with the information network. We took our time, and it went
and
in a different kind of way. Right.
Yes, we read.
In a different kind
this
of way.
Generation, they want everything instantly. So they want a YouTube clip that's going to explain it all, and life don't work that way.
It don't
you know?
Work that way. Yeah. I keep saying a lot of times to the young, it's not about microwave spirituality, okay?
Right.
It's about you taking your time and enduring and using the proper principles, using discipline, patience, endurance, and things will come, whether it's healing, whether it's learning. You know, it takes time.
And
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I used to tell the youth, you know, in the early 90s, sitting through Bobby Hammond and Phil Valentine lectures, the lectures were 8 hours. And we sat there for 8 hours, and because of the information, it only felt like 3 hours. You can't get these young people to sit down for 20 minutes. Right, you can't get these young generation to sit down for 20 minutes. Everything has to be so, because we're in an accelerated process, how I teach now is different. I have to teach in half-hour, you know, increments now, only so that the younger generation will pay attention to what it is I'm trying to bring. So I do utilize, because I don't want to get stuck in a vibration that makes what I teach irrelevant. And a lot of our teachers are, you know, they point the fingers at the youth and they refuse to, you know, be at least a little bit of swift and changeable, and they lose the youth. And I think that's something that us elders have to keep in mind. I don't have to like Lil Wayne's music, but I have to listen to it so that I can at least know why you like Lil Wayne's music or what you may see within some of these artists today's music. And a lot of old school guys are stuck, nah, I don't mess with none of that. I'm like, you're missing out, because our youth are looking at us like old school dudes who don't know what time it is. And we do know what time it is. We know what y'all are going through. You know what I mean? So it's important that we do walk that walk a little bit, and you know, so that we can stay connected.
Right, so we can stay connected indeed. Now, moving on from the Charlie Murphy thing, you know, if you're done with that, the Tupac movie.
Yes.
What do you, there's something, I don't, you know, as far as the timing of it, I look at timing, you know, as well, too. And, you know, they got the Henrietta Lacks movie coming out. That's another one. I'm not going to go there right now. We'll stay with the Tupac. But what do you think? Because, you know, we don't put out movies. We didn't put out the Tupac movie. They produced
right.
that movie. We didn't put that. Our producers like Spike Lee and a lot of the others, you know, they
and John Singleton was on the movie originally.
Oh, he was. Okay.
And then he came off of it because he didn't like the direction in which the movie was going.
Okay. Okay. Now,
so that's
okay,
something
now, what
to
do you
consider.
Think, what do you right? What do you think the purpose of the movie is? Does it have ulterior motives besides us, you know, Tupac's life, or is it about some type of manipulation, mind control, or something? You know, something, you know, to besides just enlightening.
Yes, well, Tupac, I saw the trailer. The trailer looks very interesting as it goes through certain areas that I didn't think they would put in the movie, like his connection to the Black Panthers, the FBI surveillance, and all of those issues. But we have to really get into the numerology of Tupac and when the movie is coming out to really delve deep. But they never put anything out arbitrarily. So this movie lining up this June is probably specifically to create a vibrational energy that's going to benefit them more than it'll benefit us. We will go
Absolutely.
And we will watch to participate
Absolutely.
In the movie and give our energy to it. And then we also
right.
got to remember, our energy is what charges the movie.
Right, the emotion.
Our emotions,
energy, emotion.
Our focus. So these, and I tell these young people too, take any Rick Ross video. In them first two or three videos, he didn't own none of that stuff. By the third or fourth video, he owned it all. And it was simply because every time we clicked on a World Star video to watch it, we were participating in a matrix that he created. And when you got 10 million people watching it, that's like 10 million charges, you know what I'm saying, of energy that participated in a reality or a myth that he created, and it becomes reality. That's how magic works. You know what I mean? All of this stuff you see in Hollywood. Because if I only get 3,000 hits on my video, and I'm talking something positive, it's not charged enough to affect the grand masses. But if you get 10 million views on yours, it has a different vibrational charge to it, which means it's going to reach and spread more people. So with that being said, they make these movies, and our participation of going to the theater and really involving ourselves in the movie charges the movie. We come out, we spread the word to other people, and the movie does numeric value. I'm pretty sure whatever the numeric value is for the first week, if it does 79 million or 133 million, whatever number it reached, it was probably a number that they were participating or a number that they wanted to reach, so that numeric value now moves into another dimension of our lives to do whatever they want to do. You know, bringing this full circle, talking about whether his movie has an agenda or not. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah.
So I'm going to pay close attention to the numerology on that so that I can give the people a heads up to say, listen, go see it, but go see it with your first eye open and your psychic defenses up at all times.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of, like the other movies as well, you know, the same thing for all of them. What's the date? Do you know the date that it comes out?
I believe it comes out on his birthday.
Tupac's birthday.
I believe his birthday is June 13th. I know he's Gemini, somewhere in June. The movie is going to be released on his birthday. And how old would he have been? See, these are the things that, you know, we got to, now that we're putting it out to the people, find out how old he would have been, find out how old since he died, because he died in 96. And this is 21 years later, because it's, 2017. So what number, you know, how significant is that number? You know, all of these things matter. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
All of these things matter when we start talking about who he is, what he represented, and you have a resurgence of a militancy in this country and rebellion in this country. You know what I mean? So we're in a rebellious state. Yesterday was the 156th anniversary of the Civil Rights War, the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So
going back to Charlie Murphy,
that,
he went out.
Right, back to Charlie Murphy. Right, okay.
Go back to Charlie Murphy, and you can tie in this judge in New York City, the first Muslim judge who passed away. They found her body floating in the river.
Right.
And they don't know what happened to her. And Art Rooney from the Pittsburgh Steelers, the owner, passed away today. And remember, he fought for black people to get even hired. He was an advocate for black people to even get hired for some of these general manager jobs. They call it the Rooney Rule. So before these white executives can hire another white person, they have to interview three minority people. You know what I mean? So when you start tying all the Civil War, this first judge going out, and Art Rooney fighting for civil rights, so to speak, you see a trend going on, and I don't know how that ties into your man Trump dropping that bomb today, but we'll talk about that too, you know what I'm saying, how it all ties in.
Right, how it all ties in. Okay. I think I got some hands up ready for a couple of questions for a couple of minutes, and then I'm going to let you, you know, build on. You want to do that?
Yes, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to open up the line for 706-202. You there?
Yeah, greetings, Kasim, and very interesting show, and greetings also to my brother Black Dot. It's nice hearing you. I've heard in a few of your YouTubes and different things with you and Griff. And, you know, I'm very glad to see, you know, as an elder, and you're speaking as an elder, to see the energy that's coming forth and what you're bringing forth, and especially Kasim. You know, he's bringing forth the spiritual alchemy, and that's the name of the show. But the thing that I was looking at, and I was waiting to see if you all were going to touch on it, because the 11th was the full moon, all right? So April, right, the full moon, and rituals are done either in the energy of the new moon or the full moon. That's when they do their most in their rituals and using the energy. And then you look back at Prince, because he died, you know, 4/12 and 4/11. The information was 4/11 was the full moon. Prince died 4/21, and the full moon was 4/22. Each one was a day apart.
Wow.
So, and looking at that, you know, being able, as above, so below. And this is how they work also, what you were talking about, the numerology. But they align up with different things because, you know, in 63, you were talking about the Civil War. 63 was the Birmingham where you saw the dogs and the water holes on April 12th.
Yes.
you also look at, you know, you said about Trump. Trump switched over. Trump shuttle to U.S. Airlines was on April 12th of 92. And then you talk, and Hillary in 2015, she jumped back into her second time, announced her candidacy to run for the presidency again on April 12th, 2015. And you talking about Park, and they're saying, you say his Earth Day is the 13th, but the release is going to be June 17th. I believe that's when they're supposed to hit the theaters, because June 17th is very important, because looking at that, that's when the Statue of Liberty arrived in New York, and he's from New York. All right?
Absolutely.
And you look at when he was doing the whole thing with the East Coast, West Coast, that was the same day in the movie. If you look at the Bronco Chase was on June 17th in 94, and June 17th, 2015, is when the young white boy walked in and killed all of those people in the church.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Right. Kwame, so, I'm going to have you come on later on, and I want to let another caller come on at 347, okay? Thanks for your input.
That was amazing information.
Okay, 347, you're on.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Oh, okay, good evening. This is Renee Lotus. Hello, Black Dot. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Nice to hear you brothers on the radio. I'm glad you guys are building on this. As I was listening to you, I found some other numbers. I think the bomb that Donald Trump dropped today was a 2100 or something that involved the number 2100.
Yes, it did.
So there
goes
another 21. And you said something about 156-year anniversary for the Civil War. Well, that equals 12. So there you got your 21 again. And then you got Tupac's movie being released 21 years after his death. You got 21 there too. So
absolutely.
There's a lot of numerology going on here.
Oh yeah, big time.
And that's what I looked at first. But I just wanted to say one more thing. A lot of people are saying, like, when we put these numbers together and we start decoding this stuff, which is natural to us because we've been studying and we know what's going on. So it's natural for us to be able to recognize when one of us passed away if something is going on or not. It's not that we're looking for something, but it's obvious. So what I would like for people to stop doing is, if you call yourself conscious, you can't be conscious when you feel like it. If this is information, this is definitely facts here. So I would really appreciate, like, if you don't want to talk about it, don't talk about it. But don't deter other people from putting things together, because it's time now.
It is time.
And it's time. And for those of us who naturally do it, we don't have no choice. You know, we bear the cross to be like, listen, because I can't turn this off. I've tried. Trust me, sis. I've tried to turn it off and just say, you know what? I don't see what I think I see, but my ancestors was whipping my butt behind that. Like, you are here to provide what it is that you provide to the people. And when it comes to numbers, everything is numbers. So when my auntie used to play the number back in the day in the hood, and she had a vision and she can hit these numbers, that's just an innate ability for us to understand the mathematical sequences and science around us, even to the point of hitting the number. You know what I mean? And things of that nature. And like you said, we're in a day and time now where the cream is rising to the top. So for those who do this information, I don't throw anything out with the bathwater. I will listen to if somebody has done the research and they're studying, I want to listen to it all. Because when you talk about consciousness, that's awareness, and other people's awareness is greater than other people's. So I always, when I'm teaching and talking, because I have conscious people around me who will bail out as soon as I start mentioning numerology, even though they may be aware of the ancestral, connection and things of that. So there are levels to this, and you have to embrace the level you're on, because the reason we know as much as we do is because sisters like Renee Lotus, and others, provide their insight, because I'll be on Facebook, you know, I'll be watching, you know what I mean, providing insight and things of this nature, which help us all sharpen our ability to be aware of everything around us, you know what I mean? And it's tough, but if this is your gift, this is your gift, and they didn't say, your ancestors didn't say this was going to be pretty. They said, we're going to help you reveal this, and, you know, the burden is on us to make that truth available to those, whether they want it or not.
Exactly.
You know?
Thank you for your input, sister.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Sister.
Thanks for having
Appreciate
me.
It.
Okay, good night.
Peace. Well, you know, it's numerology is definitely in the air on this one, I would say. You know, the past two callers, they were hot on that numerology. And indeed,
yes.
I feel that that was, you know, no doubt, you know, the case, you know, in his death and others, you know, without question.
And others, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, yeah. Now, all right, moving on, you know, from, you know, the current events, as far as your book is concerned, let's talk about that a little bit more in reference to what the young can get from the book. What was it, a spiritual book? Is it a book on hip-hop or culture? Or, you know, go a little bit more into it so, you know, they can understand, those who don't have the book or not familiar with you, can understand how it would benefit them.
Yes, this book, Urban Culture Decoded, is a critical analysis into the physical, mental, and spiritual state of a new generation. Because what I've been noticing is that these entity or these spirits that are incarnating now are of a different vibration than we are. They want everything, as we spoke of, instantaneously. They would rather live 5 years high on a hog and burn out than to work some job for 40 years and receive a watch for their contributions. They can't even process the fact that we have to, you know, go to a job. So they are cut from a different cloth. And, let me just read the back passage of the book so people can get an understanding. I said, this book will not be conventional in the sense that it will try to provide politically correct answers to the problems that we are facing in urban America. We must explore unconventional methods, or at least view the situation from an unconventional standpoint, if we want to make any true breakthroughs. While I am not advocating the use of drugs, alcohol, sex, and violence, I do recognize that they are a reality within our culture. However, what if the same things that plague us could save us? My approach in this book will be one that deals with the toughest issues from a multiplicity of viewpoints. Some of the topics are going to be using drug proceeds to pay for college education. Can urban voodoo end police brutality once and for all? Can sex, drugs, alcohol, and music lead to spirituality? The divinity of hip-hop versus the corporation of rap? The connection between the barbershop, the liquor store, and the church? To twerk or not to twerk, that is the question. The LGBT in the urban community, the protocols of urban economics, is rap this generation's savior? And I close it by saying, after reading Urban Culture Decoded, your perspective on the urban experience will change forever. We are not witnessing the demise of a culture. We are witnessing the rise of a culture. So this is a very controversial book. I put an elephant on the cover because, you know, the saying, we have to begin to deal with the elephant in the room. And I want to address some of these issues, because it's one thing for the elders to just point the finger and say that the youth are the problem, but we birth the youth. And so we have to accept some responsibility for their actions. In terms of the music industry, we didn't set something up so that they could truly reap the benefits from their intellectual property, so they continue to get robbed. And then when you take a sister, and I hate to say it, and you want to have her go to college, educate herself, and, you know, have pride in who she is, the mother of all civilization, in a society that makes money seem like it's the greatest thing moving, how can you knock a sister for twerking and she can make $40,000 in a weekend and that's more than her mother made in maybe a year or two? These are what our young sisters are facing, and I don't agree or disagree. I'm just pointing out as I present this evidence that this is what the evidence is. How you perceive it will make it negative or positive. So this book right here is one of those books you're really going to have to roll up your sleeve and truly digest.
Right, right. And that's it'll be good, you know, to have the young back, you know, a lot of them reading something that, you know, they can relate to. Something that, like you said, you processed it. You're from the old school. You have that knowledge. We're elders now, so we have the knowledge. It's about processing it in a palatable way so they can digest it. And I commend you for doing that job indeed. I've been on the path for a while, you know, such as you, and I, you know, go out, teach. I do shows every now and then and stuff like that, and I do come across the young and I observe, you know, very, you know, closely, like I'm trying to figure out, okay, you know, how do I relate this to them if they may not see it in the way that I do, you know, because of my age,
right,
stuff like that. And that becomes a challenge, you know, from time to time. You know, the young guys, you know, in my hood, you know, they call me OG, you know, like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm OG, you know. And, you know, but I school them, and they listen. I don't know how they digest it, but they will listen with respect, you know, from that standpoint.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and what I noticed, like I said, the Lil Wayne situation or Young Thug, 5-10 years ago, I would have just ripped into these artists, but I noticed I was losing my young people when I was doing it because they like, yo, y'all had y'all crazy music like due to Pee Wee Herman and all of this old kind of stuff, and this is our time. Now, the eldership within me will let them know the digression of it all, but when all the smoke clears, this is the music that represents the reality that they live in, and I just can't dismiss it all, so I will listen and try to find a jewel within these guys so that I can at least start the dialogue. And what I don't do when I'm talking to youth, I don't judge, especially the first couple
right.
of times I'm with them, because I want them to feel comfortable enough to come to me and I can build with them. So I let them go through their spiel, and then I'll find my moment to teach, and then come to find out they start coming around a little bit more and I'm able to teach a little more, but I have to at least respect what they do, because if I don't, I lose them. And the
right,
elders don't need this information. The elders know this stuff. It's the youth who have to enforce it and make it applicable to the day and times that they live in, because we got a lot of young youth that are sharp, but they like to smoke weed,
right.
And who am I? You see what I'm saying? I can't be like, yo, you can't smoke
right.
weed. I understand the spiritual properties of smoking weed. So you know what I do? I teach them about that aspect and be like, listen, you just need to stop getting high all day because you're messing up the potency of your ability to tap in during a new moon
right.
or so forth and so on and
right.
really reap the benefits. Now, what you mean, OG?
Right.
After you smoke a weed all day, you're numbing yourself. Your psychic
right.
energy is twisted because you're smoking that weed all day. I say, yo, come around on the
right.
new moon and I'll take a few puffs with you and let's see where this goes.
Right.
Really? Because they know I don't really smoke like that. But understanding
right.
the principles that we can use everything. They call it the bottle of spirits for a reason, because it will enhance whatever your temperament is, and you open that bottle, you know what I'm saying, it can enhance, or if you have an anger feeling, it can bring about these feelings. It is literally a bottle of spirits that when in celebration with the music and the drum, if you know what you're doing, this is why they're in the studio acting like that. But nobody's giving them the knowledge about sex and alcohol
mm-hmm.
and weed and all of these things that can be used ritualistically, but what happens is the devil is using it realistically on us because we don't know the spiritual properties in it. So they say, hey, yeah,
right.
have all of this weed, have all of this sex, drink all of this stuff, and your energy alone will produce the etheric energy that they need to get what they need done. But once we tap into the young people and say, look, you can't just be giving your sperm away, youngster. You just can't. You know what I'm saying? You have to understand every time you do this, you're birthing something on one plane or another. You know what I mean? So if you in tune with it, it may not sink in right away, but once you get in tune with it, then we can have a hip-hop celebration or a musical celebration around the planet where we all in sync at the same time, and that's what they don't want. So the Facebook and social media is a gift and a curse. But if I synchronize something and say, listen, this officer just killed one of our youth, so at 9 o'clock, I want everybody to print out a picture of him around the world, no matter what time it is in your time area, and we all put a picture of this devil on the wall, and we all going to stare at it. He's done.
Finito.
So this is what I'm trying to bring. Yes. You know, so we have the power to get these things done. But as long as we keep marching and blowing off steam and going home, nothing ever gets done. We've been doing that. They already have protocols in place
for
that.
While.
So they create that wall of defense where them police officers stand there. They stop you. They steer you to walk down certain blocks or where the feng shui can benefit them. All of this is science. And we wind up walking down blocks that they want us to walk down, and it heightens the energy. We blow off that steam because anger and hate is an energy source. We blow it off. We go home. That's it. Nothing gets done. We need to stop that. Everybody needs to get in sync. We all linked up through Facebook and these social medias. And when they kill somebody and there's nobody in the streets because we all home prepping, you know, burning my sage, getting ready to stare at this devil's photo for an hour straight, that's when they'll start worrying.
Mm-hmm. Right. Also, the power of the spoken word. Period, through the rap. Now, I don't know if your book goes into that, okay, in reference to that whole science of vibration and spoken word and stuff like that. Do you have a chapter on that in specific?
My whole first book, Hip Hop Decoded, is dedicated to that. So Hip Hop Decoded is dedicated to all of that stuff. And what I noticed is a lot of the elders would pick up the book and look at the title and go, hip hop, that's that noise. And they didn't understand the science that was in the book. So this one, I coded within the code. I call it Urban Culture Decoded. So now they see urban culture. They go, okay, maybe this is something going on with the hood, and you're going to get a revised version of the first one just on a higher vibration. You know what I mean? So I speak about the power of the word, the vibrations, and, you know, all of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because I got that when you – because I saw that picture of that you put on the – well, it was on the video I got up in Harlem when I was up there. And I saw that picture, man, of the, like, half Egyptian, half hip-hop dude, you know, the one you got on the – yeah. And I said, wait a minute, hold up, this is deep. You know what I'm saying, how that goes? Because you was relating, okay, this is hip-hop, but – this is also an ancient science, okay, as
absolutely.
Well. That's what that gave me the picture of. Wait a minute, this brother got something here. And that's what made me start to listen to those DVDs right there in reference to that connection. And that's a powerful connection.
Everything is connected for us, you know?
Everything is connected. Indeed, yes, you know what I'm saying? And that power, you know, if the young refocused that energy, that hip-hop vibration, because I see some of them spit. And,
yes.
You know, with the energy that some of them have, it's just tremendous. And if channeled in the proper way, we can do some serious, serious damage to the negativity out here on the planet without question.
But you also know that these devils know that too because they do the geometry on it. And they know that this, you don't need nothing external to deal with hip-hop. Your hand can write graffiti or glyphs on a wall. Your body is the embodiment, so when you can express yourself through dance, and the dance is a sacred language in itself, the oracle which was the elder within the community that had the stories that passed them down from, you know, mouth to ear. The heartbeat is the first drum. So when we talk about
right.
drums in hip hop, the heartbeat is the first drum. So when KRS-One said, "I am hip hop," people were taking it literal as if he was ego tripping. He was saying, "No, hip hop is within us. Everything we do mm-hmm. is hip hop. When we dance, that's the B-boy. When we spit that fire, you know, that's the MC. Our body is 70% water, so that's the water element. I added the earth, air, fire, water element to this. You know what I'm saying? By saying
right.
the graffiti pieces is the earth. We use the earth to put those up. MCs are always spitting fire. Of course, the throat chakra from the kundalini, the base of the spine. I go in
right.
on this, the sound being the air, you know, the DJ using sound to travel, and it just really balls into everything we do is spiritual if we understand the principles of it. You know what I mean? So this book goes
absolutely.
Into all of that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. You know, so I guess both of the books are indeed necessary. The first one is how long has that one been out for, the first book?
That one's been out for 10 years, and
yeah,
but I sell more
years.
Copies
okay.
of it now than I did then. Because
right.
when I
yeah.
did the book, I told my wife, I said it'll be 5 years before people even catch up to what I'm talking about in this book, except
right.
for those on
the
frequency,
of time,
of course.
Bro. You was ahead of your time with it. I knew that.
So
too.
Now it sells more because now more people are looking for information about how deep hip-hop is. And so that's why that – and this one is really goes into everything from the barbershop, the liquor store, the church, the Chinese restaurant, dudes on the corner waiting 3 days for sneakers. Instead of me just ridiculing them and saying, "Why are you waiting on the corner for sneakers for 3 days, you stupid?" I took a different approach and said, "Wait a minute, our feet represent our ability to travel, you know what I mean? And it's upward mobility. So when you are stuck or trapped within a hood vibration that you may never get out of, what's on your feet metaphysically represents your ability to move forward. That's why young dudes don't have dirty sneakers on. And they will wait in line, you know what I'm saying, to get a clean pair because it enables them to travel. Even if not physically, in their mind, the pair of sneakers means that they're going somewhere. Now, when white guys want to collect art and watches, we don't get on their case. You got young brothers now collecting sneakers and sneakers of high value. I was reading about a guy
right.
who got married and his sneaker collection paid for his house. You see what I'm saying? So, oh, yeah,
wow.
he had so many first-run Jordan sneakers. His wife came on the scene and was like, "Look, okay, baby, yeah, this is nice, but this could buy us a house." And when he traded it in, he had his house. So this is what's going on with our young people. They value what they value. And for them, it's easy for me to take the route and just call them a bunch of savages for waiting 3 days in line.
I know.
But the
yeah.
iconography
yeah.
that Jordan infused in those sneakers in 84 changed the game because it had him extending himself. You know what he represented for them. So it has some value to it. Now, am I going to stand on the corner for 3 days? Absolutely not. However, I have to take into consideration the mindset of the youth and what success means to them. And a fresh pair of Jordans means that they leaping over all of their obstacles, at least
yeah.
in their mind.
Yeah. I asked a young guy one time, he had a whole closet full of sneakers. I said, "Yo, why?" I mean, they was nice and neat in the box and everything. And,
yeah.
you know, all he wore, and he would make sure they was nice and clean. I said, what's the deal with this, man? His response was, "Man, I got a sneaker fetish." So straight
mm-hmm.
off, he just like, and I always knew was lift my hands up. And I said, "Okay, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is."
And with
man,
that being
you know?
Said, I understand Dr. Franz Quest Welson's breakdown, too, that brothers and sneakers are always in play mode. I get that because I also mentioned that in the book as well. So there are always layers to this information. It's rarely cut and dry this way or that way. So to ease them into Dr. Francis Quest Welson's breakdown and understanding of how the game is played, I acknowledge them first and, you know, what it means. And then I hit them with that jewel that, but wait a minute, brother, keep in mind, you know, and I end the chapter, I believe, by saying every brother should own a pair of shoes, because when I wore shoes, my whole mentality was different. You just was clean. I didn't have time to play. My focus was different. You know, growing up, you put on a pair of shoes. So I ended the chapter by saying every one of these brothers should own a pair of shoes, even if you only put them on once in a while. So I tried my best to, you know, understand their point, but, you know, the elders were teaching on a whole nother level, and I infused that in there as well.
Right, right. Okay, we're reaching the top of the hour. We're going to open up the lines. If anybody has a question for Brother Black Dot, 515-605-9354. If somebody has a question, just press the 1, and we'll put you in to ask a question. Or if you have a comment, hopefully, you know, keep your comments on topic and brief. That's also allowed. So let me see who we got. I got one hand raised here. Okay, I think I have Brother Kwame on again. Hold on, let me get him in here. Okay, Brother Kwame, you're in there, 706-202.
Great. And I really got a lot out of what he was feeding, because he was hitting on key points, and I was waiting for the jewel to drop in it when he was talking about sneakers and the young people and how they adorn their feet. And the thing is what's the bottom of the feet called? The soul. And we adorn us, your soul. We have known that we adorn our feet. We adorn our soul because that connects us to the geomancy, the electromagnetic energy of the earth. And how we travel is that we have to adorn that soul. Even when you look at Nubians and how they got ready for war, they would draw the picture of their enemy in the bottom of their sandals, because they were walking right that way. The energy goes into the soul that they were going to conquer their enemy. And the part you were saying about hip hop, and the hip hop was when you began your first book, and you said in your first book, you said that, you know, the elders wasn't digging it, because it was the thing that I always said when it came out, it was highly intelligent people helping other people. You revised the book and said that you wanted to get to another crowd, because the wife told you that, you know, it's going to take 5 years or so for it to really settle in, and you put the urban title on it. But what it was is highly intelligent people harnessing our power, because you had seen what was all the tools to harness our power in creating a genre, just as we created the American classical music here called jazz. And our youth has turned around and created this new genre, which is, you know, that to harness their power, because that's how they're vocalizing their anger, their power, their wanting to know, or they're wanting to tell us or tell the world what's going on in the community. That's what Pac was doing. That's what Biggie was doing. That's what Prince was doing. All of the parts of the music is the voice of the people and what they were dealing in the environment of their living. They were living, and they're showing you how they live by creating a genre of music. And so I commend you for putting all of this together and being able to give it to us, because, you know, Frantz Fanon said in White Skin, Black Mass, each generation out of relative obscurity must fulfill its mission or we will all fail. And each generation is continuously picking up the mantle and beginning to move forward, even if they don't understand all of what they're doing, but they come with their plan, with the purpose that came from the womb.
Absolutely. Well said, Eldo. Extremely well said. Much wisdom there. Much
thanks,
wisdom.
Brother Kwame. Thank you. Oh, yeah. All one right, question sir. For you, Brother Kwame. One question. Don't go. I got a question in reference to the sneakers. This is for you too, Black Dot. Now, doesn't rubber cut off the energy from the earth?
Yes,
it's a conductor, and the part of, okay, go ahead, finish the question.
No, it is finished. I was just trying to figure out, because we were mentioning sneakers in the connection with the earth or something like that, but I was thinking that the sneakers would, or tennis shoes would cut off the energy flow from the earth to you.
But see, the thing that you're correct, but you have to look at something. When you live in an urban area, you are banned from walking on the earth, on the grass, on the soil. You're on concrete, asphalt.
You're on concrete,
brick.
Exactly.
All of that is distorted frequency. So you're what you're doing is that you're protecting yourself from that energy. And it's a protection, just like you wear rubber gloves when you work with electricity, or you have scoop tools that you use. They have rubber in order to ground you, not to get the shock of things. It's enough you're getting shocked from all the distortion around you. You don't want it running up in you too.
Yes.
So what you do
yes.
is you ground yourself in the environment, but when you come out and you come into nature, come off of those shoes, and you take your shoes off and you want to walk in the grass, and you want to feel that energy coming through the soul as that frequency of the earth electromagnetic is connecting and making you a conduit with what's coming down through the cosmic and making you that photon walking on the earth.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay, Kwame, thanks a lot for the input.
You're welcome.
Peace, Elder.
All right.
You know, let me see if I got any more hands raised. No, not yet. So we can continue, Brother Black Dot.
Yes.
Question. As far as hip-hop being the longest-running genre, do you think that's a true fact of music?
Do I think it's the longest-running genre?
Yeah.
Technically, but to me, it's always an extension of the music that came before it. It's just that this current vibration we call hip-hop, I think it's been prolonged because technology has allowed these corporations to find a way to infiltrate it. So now that it's not hip-hop, it's rap, which is something totally different. Rap is like a lower vibration. It's no more complex sentences being used between the artists. It's easy peasy, deasy, wheezy, cat, rat, hat, bat. It's like they lowered down the vibratory frequency so that Europeans can understand what it was, and then they could monetize it because it has a general, it's still encased in what we call hip-hop, but to sell Sprite and all of these other things, you can't have Kendrick Lamar, Rakim, and all that speeded up lyrical vibration stuff because they don't understand it. They didn't understand the significance of our DJ spinning these two records, suspending a six-second break beat forever. There were certain components, so they stripped all that away. The graffiti writer making these images unseen, seen, you know, these super glyphs with colors and fonts. They didn't want none of that. All they wanted was, you know, the MC or the rapper who now doesn't even have to harness his or her skill set. All he has to do is be able to rhyme cat with rat, and they can sell Sprite. So corporations, in my humble opinion, have extended, you know, rap music because it's a universal language now. I can go anywhere in the world, and if I speak the language of hip-hop, I'm accepted amongst the people. So it is a universal language that makes me, like I said, I can go anywhere in the world. And as long as they speak a vibratory frequency of hip-hop or variation thereof, I'm accepted amongst the people. So they know the power of it, connected with social media and all of these outlets that can control it to a certain degree. This is why you don't hear no angry music anymore, no revolutionary music, or at least not on the radio, because that galvanizes the people, you know?
You know what, Black Dot? I've heard some rap in foreign countries, whether it's, you know, in South America, whether it's in Asia or wherever. It seems to me that they are rapping about their situation. They're rapping about love. They're rapping about things that we used to, you know, when rap
yes.
was rap. You know what I'm saying,
yes.
back then. And we over here mumble rapping. Okay?
Absolutely.
Now, I don't know what your take is on the mumble rap. I haven't
well,
asked you that
funny
yet.
You said that. I just put up an article on my Facebook page. My son's blog is urbanx.nyc. Urbanx.nyc. He just launched his blog, and my first article was The Science of Mumble Rap. And what I mean by that is, again, on the surface, it's gibberish, but English is not our language to begin with. And I tied it into scat, Louis Armstrong and them, who used to become the instrument. I tied it into Busta Rhymes had a song out, y'all. That wasn't basically English. Afrika Bambaataa
right.
had a song out. Afrika Bambaataa had a song out, Planet Rock, where he said, the rapping Duke, da-ha. So we have different references, but we know and understand, even James Brown, when he reached a certain point, spiritually, you didn't understand what he was saying, but you knew it was funky. So I did this
because
I'm glad you mentioned that. I could easily go in on mundane mumble rap. It's retarded. But I have to find angles to reach our babies. This is their genre.
Right.
So I showed them the metaphysical principles of English not being our language, but we still find ways. Because here's another thing. The first thing I do, because, you know, I'm a writer. If you hit me with the beat, I might start mumbling in my head. I don't have all the words yet. See, in my mind is chaos. The words are order. So in the chaos realm, I might go, then when I get home and have time to formulate the right words, I'll lay the words down. What's happening is these young artists are going into the studio. They on that lean and they on that Percocet. And they'll go into the studio, and whatever comes out of the chaos realm is a take for them. So even though it may sound chaos to us, to them it's a form of order. And because they all in agreement with it, it exists. Remember, language only agrees because we have a collective agreement that it does. So if I say the word cat, but you know the word cat may mean a smooth dude from the 70s, oh, that's a cool cat. You know what I mean? But if you're not up on the language and our agreement of the language, you'll be lost. Like if I said, I'm going to get me some cheddar right now, for those on a linear perspective, they think I'm going to get some cheese. And for you, you know I'm going to get my money up. So our agreement in language is the only thing that makes it relevant. And for these young people, they wanted to distance themselves from us since we're turning our back on them. They have coded their shit, excuse my French, into a language that only they understand. We're sitting there giggling at them, and they have created, just like emojis. I don't know what an emoji is, but them kids can talk to each other without using no words now. Emoji this, happy face, bacon emoji this and that.
Right.
That's a language, that has cut us off. Unless you know what it is. So they are in the area because we're moving from analog to digital. You know what I'm saying? In every sense of the word. So because they came in on the timeline a little bit more digital, these kids can pick up a laptop or something at 2 and 3 years old and figure it out. And you're trying to get your grandmother to log on and she can't do it because it's not within her DNA or it hasn't been activated. I say all of that to say the emojis and the short text messages, and now the verbal language of mumble has created and separated them from us because they do not want to be associated with us. So when we look at it from that area, it becomes a little bit more interesting when we talk about mumble rap. I'm all about watching the signs. You know what I mean? And if everybody's going left, I'm going, maybe there's something to the right that can connect the left and the right so that we have a mundane level of it. Of course, it's gibberish.
Right.
And then there's
right. –
But check out a baby's frustration. A baby is speaking gag-gag-goo-goo and is frustrated because it knows what it wants to say, but it hasn't been taught the proper way to formulate words to communicate with us. And we think it's cute, oh, the baby this. But the baby's like, this is not cute, bro. You know what I mean? So, and last point I'm going to make on it, if I do not speak Arabic – because I was in Germany and their language is very aggressive. Not snack, snook, snacker, right?
Yeah.
It sound like mumble
like
to me. But to them, it is a complete formulated language. So mumble is really a perspective. And because some of us have mastered the English language, does not mean it's not the same language that has cut our wings off, because it's a very low vibration. You know what I mean?
Right.
We add curves to the language just to kind of humanize it. So we say, nah, mean, instead of do you know what I mean, I may say, hey, man, I'm going to get something to drink, nah, mean, and you'll know exactly what I mean. You know what I mean? So I have a chapter
book
called The Language of Nah, Mean, and it shows how we take a linear language and add curves and ebonics. It's our way to infuse spirit into an otherwise dead language.
Right, right. Wow. That's really deep. Now, question, shifting gears a little bit again. The battles, the rap battles that they have now, this one with Remy Martin, Nicki Minaj, right? This thing going on between them two. Do you think that's healthy for hip-hop, as some may say, or is it damaging to us as a people?
If they were arguing over real critical issues, I might say that's beneficial. Like, when I used to battle we would battle on intellectual levels, like, you know, how clever and, you know, who was teaching what within their rhymes. This is a corporate battle, you know what I mean? Remy Ma been sitting behind bars for 7 years. She knew there was only one pin she had to knock down in terms of – it ain't like it was the genre was flooded with female MCs. So if I'm behind bars for 7 years and I know when I come out, there's only one person I really got to knock down to take the throne is, you know, Nicki. And that's what she did. She kept egging her on. And when Nicki finally responded, she went in – with a very hard, seething record where, you know, she exposed all of her deficiencies. And on one level, you know, if you into hip-hop, you say that that's the spirit of hip-hop. I agree, but then, you know, on a whole nother level, I hate to see sisters going at it in that capacity. So I was a little torn, but I did listen and research because I want to know what the streets are saying and what young people feel about it, you know?
Right. Me too. I wanted to, you know, see what that was all about. I thought it was interesting from the standpoint of the lyrical genius of Remy. I think she's a genius, man. You know what I'm saying? To the way she goes off lyrically. Okay. And
she's very gifted.
They didn't really even know who Remy was.
No, she's gifted. She's very gifted.
Remy,
she's very gifted.
You know,
and her husband is gifted, too.
Yeah. I knew of her before, and I told people, and then when that happens, it takes negativity a lot of time for people to respond. And I said, see, I told y'all about Remy. Y'all didn't know she had to go off.
Yes.
It negativity. Now y'all know her. So sometimes it starts to react. And that, which is a shame, that we react to negativity or fight to know how bad somebody is. Okay?
Absolutely.
A genius in somebody.
I bet they know who she is now.
They know who she is now, no doubt. And
absolutely.
The world knows who Remy is now, because that went all over. okay?
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
on YouTube all over. So you got Chinese
yeah,
girls and Latino girls who know Remy Ma. Now,
yep. so,
whereas that before, I mean, this girl was winning Soul Train Awards and everything, and nobody still gave her that respect, man, because she got some awards, man, for best female rapper back in the days, too, before she went in jail.
Yeah. And she was and see that's what happened. She allowed that situation that with her friend to derail her career because she would have been sitting at the top of the throne with multi millions of dollars, and she felt that. And that's why I always tell these young people: one decision can change it all. For you got to be very careful on you know operate, especially when you're in the public eye and you have a lot to lose. If you have a lot to lose, and I don't. Advantage me. That's why Jay-Z said in that song, if I shoot you, I'm brainless. If you shoot me, you famous. You know, what am I supposed
right.
to do? So you got to be very careful of the agitators who have nothing to lose and they want to bring you down to their level. That takes place all the time in hip hop. So you have to remove your emotion and say, nah, I got too much to lose. Not only my son, but the potential of millions of dollars that I'm going to make as long as I stay the course.
Right. Okay, we got about another, I guess you could say another 15 minutes left in the show. I do a 90-minute show most of the time unless I get a lot of callers. You want to give out your information, Black Dot?
I can be found
on to obtain your book and stuff like that.
Well, you got to go to Amazon.com or you go to iDecode it. So that's I, the word decode, IT at the end of it, .com. That's my site. You can buy directly from me. And I'm off the grid. I'm on Facebook. You might find me. Or my email is blackdot16@hotmail.com. I don't give out my number and all that crazy stuff. I'm on Twitter.
I'm not saying that. Yes.
Yeah, my Twitter, I don't even know my Twitter account, man. Look up Black Dot. It's out there. My kids are trying to get me to get with the Instagram and the Twitter, you know. I'm like, okay,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I got a question for you, man. In Philly, they got the bookstore out there, Black and Noble.
Black and Noble.
Right? Yeah, Black and Noble. I know you're familiar. They have brothers out there. They had some type of awards or some type of hip-hop thing going on out there, right, at one time? Dealing with the
yeah,
brothers?
Yeah, they have a mixtape. Yeah.
Oh, they have a mixtape.
It was a mixtape awards where they were recognizing
okay.
some of the young brothers in the hood who make mixtapes, and I thought that was cool. See, Black and Noble is more like it's a home spot. You go for your knowledge. You go for some music.
Right.
You go for some information.
Right.
They stopped them
right.
from selling the hip-hop mixtapes because they was making too much money of, you know, the FAA or one of them the music industry came down on Black and Nobel, you know, for selling mixtapes. So they had to find other ways to keep the youth off the street. So they give a lot of programs in there. I've done a couple of lectures inside of Black and Nobel. My book is available there as well.
Right. Yeah.
Our
because,
brothers in that area.
Yeah, because in I don't know if there's any Black bookstores like that in New York. In Harlem
no,
anywhere?
Man, we used to have them.
No, right?
One on the Upper East Side of Harlem. I forget the young lady's name, but it's tough to keep bookstores. That's on my bucket list now. I want to have a bookstore. Not a lot of this generation reads. That's the problem. I want to have a bookstore,
right.
but, you know, a bookstore you come to get lectures, a fresh cup of juice, like everyone's place, you know what I'm saying, where you come and just kind of hang out. And hopefully be inspired to pick up a book and read. And, you know, but you
right.
would have to be doing lectures and giving seminars to keep the place open. Because if you're just relying on book selling, you get the elders that will come in. But these young people, it's got to be YouTube for them, bro. I tell you.
Yeah, it's
you know?
Got to be YouTube, right? They ain't trying to feel no, yeah. And you know
yeah,
what I think that is
for them,
like that,
YouTube.
I think that that's that right brain. Kicking in, you know, like that, because we're becoming more right-brained now anyway, which deals with
yes.
more pictures, you know,
and
that type of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So it's not really a bad thing. It's just that that's the way we're evolving.
you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
so it's not a bad thing if I give you a YouTube clip of positive information that you can download. Sure, and you download it. So I use it. It's not good or bad. I use it for my purpose. So I don't have young chicks up there twerking and all of that. That's not the energy I'm on. I am putting up information. So if you're going to use YouTube to get it, then use YouTube to get it. So we have to
use
everything
available
to us. And, you know, for the young generation, I keep the book there for when you want to have a concentrated period of time to study. But I put up them YouTube clips quick. Here it is. Here's a taste. You know, and now what I'm doing is I'm reading chapters out of my book and adding visuals to it. So it's like a video.
Right.
I got one up
good.
On the website.
Very
if you go to Urban X, you go to urbanx.nyc, I put up the first one. It's an excerpt, a message to teachers, which is one of the chapters in the book. And I'm sitting there reading the book, and then I'm showing pictures, and I flash back to me reading so it doesn't get boring. And that's the way I'm going to be selling this book. I got to make it palatable for you to digest it. And if that's what I got to do, I'm not stuck in any particular old vibration. I'm moving with the people.
You got to. You have to. And
you
I think
to.
A lot of older brothers don't understand how to roll like that. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
That's something that, you know, I'm from New York, man, and I keep my youthful. You know, thing. I mean, my daughters will come over. We'll put it on the computer, and I'll do some rapping. They said, "Daddy, you can't rap." I said, "Yes, I can." You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And, yeah,
absolutely.
You know, just a message to let them know that. Like, look, you know what I'm saying? I'm, you know, Dad's not getting old.
We
like
did
that.
This. We did.
Yeah,
this,
we did.
You
this.
Know.
Hey. Yeah. So I mean, it may not be the mumble rap like they like, or some of them, or some stuff.
Right. Right.
The
not
real
deal.
Deal.
I'm not gonna. Because that's not my vibration. I couldn't
right,
master that
right,
because
I
that's not my vibration.
Right.
I'm going to keep it old school and make sure my words rhyme and make sure they make sense. That's just what I'm built for.
Right.
You know?
Right, right. That's where we come from. That's it.
That's where
you
we
know?
Come from.
Anyway.
You know? And,
but I was glad you was able to come on the show, my brother. It's been a treat. And hopefully the family, you know, has enjoyed the show. And, you know, hopefully maybe in the future, you know, you come back again and, you know, build
oh,
us,
absolutely.
You know, again, network, you
absolutely.
Know, no doubt
anytime,
about that.
Anytime I'm needed, you know, if something come up that I feel that I can add to, you know, I'm willing to add my two cents and say, well, here's my opinion on this, especially if it's going to deal with culture and music because, you know, that's my energy and vibration. If you ask me something about, you know, the third dimension from the sun, and I might go, hey, bro, I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? I'm not the one for
right.
that. You know what I mean? So I always try
right.
to stay where I can add, you know, and, you know, and other brothers and sisters, if that's their area of expertise, that's when I become a student. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's all,
right.
all relevant.
Okay.
You know.
Before you go, somebody has their hand up. I just want to let them in real quick.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right? Okay.
Cool.
732-215, you on the air?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to speak about twerking. You know, we always say how a lot of the older people go against what the younger people do, but dancing is one of the best things for you. As a matter of fact, I've never seen a person on a dance floor have a heart attack or stroke like I've seen the pastors in the pulpit. But
wow.
Twerking is one of the greatest arts there is. Do you know when a female moves her body, she starts to line both her roots up, from the roots
right.
to Shakti, from the root to Shakti, up to her chakras. And so what
wow.
happens is she has
yes.
one of the straightest spines there is. And another thing that's always happened is whatever the greatest thing for people, people always go against it the greatest. And that's one of the things they put down the most is dancing. But that twerking, I could guarantee you, if a female did that and she was feeling bad, if she can twerk, when she finished,
if
she would
she
be
can,
feeling
yes.
better. Yes, because it's an art.
It's an
art.
An art.
Yes.
It's an art form. Everything we do has some kind of spiritual significance to it. So we can't allow the media to add negativity, because, again, they may see the spiritual significance, and if all of our sisters began to twerk, the vibration of the planet will change, probably overnight.
Yes, just like Dancing with the Stars, you don't see any of the sisters on there, because when a sister dances, she draws, and they know
that. Yes.
So when she's twerking like that, she might move the sun. If the sisters
yes.
got together, she might move the sun. But thank you so much for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Okay, you're welcome,
and I appreciate what you offered. You see, now that's
you know
the angle. Go ahead, sis.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had put her off. I didn't realize that she had something else to say. I muted her. I'll open it
okay,
back
now
up
listen.
Here. I'm going to open it back up. There you go, sis.
Okay, I'm on?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, you're back on. Go
okay.
ahead.
What I wanted to say is I was on one phone before, and I kept trying to get into the queue, and I couldn't. So I noticed whenever I come on this conference, on this number, I couldn't
mm-hmm.
ever get on the queue. And there was a few other people saying, well, we can't get in the queue. And I think it's according to what phones we're calling in on. Because I put one phone
yeah.
down and said, oh, no, I've got to get in here. And I put that phone down and I picked up my other phone and I got right in.
Yeah,
that's
I deep, heard
because
some problems
when I called,
with metro phones.
Yeah, when I called, even when I called King, it didn't give me an option of putting myself in the queue. It said, you're just now listening to the show. But you queued me in on your end, but I was waiting for the option to say, if you'd like to speak to the host, you know, press 1, and it didn't give me that option. And I have an Apple phone.
Yeah, but even if you just press 1, it won't let you in on certain phones, because there's another lady that's on now, too, and she's been trying to get in, and she can't even on her phone.
So, and we're in Mercury retrograde, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I
want to
add that
stuff.
We are in Mercury retrograde, so you know how communication be, you know, a little twisted.
True.
So the last thing I want to say about what the sister said, if young people knew the power. empowers them, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Go ahead.
And the knowledge of what you're doing empowers you, and them sisters could really be in there changing the vibration of some of those clubs if they wanted to. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they knew what they were doing. Absolutely, because there's power in those clubs when the women are dancing. You know what I'm saying? With
yes.
no doubt. What,
so I appreciate the sisters' input. Yep.
Right. Because a lot of times certain things have to come from a sister for people to understand, you know, from that a female perspective, you know, what that's all
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
And this goes that goes back to ancient times. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
I almost remember those old Hercules movies, and they used to have the women dancing around, and it was just something exotic and powerful about the way
yes.
they moved. You know,
absolutely.
And it has some kind of energy to it, you know, and in our back in Africa, you know, I saw YouTube and the women, somebody had posted it and on the Facebook and the women were twerking in Africa. Let me run now.
Yes.
And I was like, wait a minute. I said, what? You know, and then that's what made me think about it in a different kind of way, because they didn't look at it like it was something really sexual, but more energetic than anything else. And that's what
am I still on too?
You're still on?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Because I was going to say, well, the Bible is put you in bondage, you can bring you out too. But even with Moses, what happened back in the day was Moses was, you know, when he went away and everything, he went to this land and all these females were there. And that's what the females used to do is the female that danced the best is the one that the men would pick back then.
Oh, so you're right there.
He didn't pick them. He picked the sister that didn't dance. But that's how they used to do that. And even in Africa, there was this guy from Africa. When I forgot what planet it was. But anyway, with the African man, it's about the female with the wedding. The male, the man's family takes that female, and they take her and they dance, not straight through 7 nights, but that's what they do, they dance. And just like you said, that's what the Africans do. It's about the, because they know it's healing. It's about the body movement.
Right. So West Africa had a dance called the Mapauka. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. And it was very suggestive kind of dance, sort of like twerking. M-A-P-O-U-K-A in West Africa. And it was one of those Mapauka or Mapauka dances, which is very suggestive. So we're talking, this goes back. Everything we do is spiritual, and they know this. So with that said, brother, I got to say peace.
Yeah, I say peace as well.
I thank you for giving me this platform, and I appreciate the support.
Indeed, indeed. So peace and love, and you know, you take care, Brother Black Dot, and hope you will have you on again soon. Peace, sister, and peace, Brother Kwame, if you're still listening, enjoy your input. And until next time, family, you know, peace and love. Be safe.
Peace to the family.